Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, and welcome to Purpose Kingdom Network. I am your host, Arthenius Jackson, from One Touch Transformation, located in the great city of Florence, South Carolina. We are excited that you have decided to join in for tonight's episode. We are actually on episode number 979, which means we are only 21 episodes away from hitting 1,000. Yeah! That's so awesome. I mean, really think about it. 1,000 episodes and only 21 away. And I must say, I have never been a part of anything so great, you know. And this, I'm not just saying this is just something small, but this is huge for me because this is an international ministry and I don't take it lightly, and I appreciate it. And I say this with all humbleness that I am just so grateful to be a part of such a great platform, because I didn't have to be given this opportunity, but I am so glad that I was. And I, like I said, this is a huge milestone that we are approaching. And for those of you who have been a part of this ministry since it started, this is huge. Congrats to you for sticking it out. To everyone who, you know, even started one of the main hosts who started the ministry, congratulations for even sticking with it and holding out with it, because this is just great. This is great. And like I said, I am just so humble and so grateful that I'm a part of this great ministry. So congratulations, Purpose Kingdom Network, to everyone who's a part of this ministry. We are slowly but surely approaching 1,000. I'm not even going to say slowly, because there's an episode every night. So 21 episodes, they're going to go by so fast. So again, this is episode number 979. I am your host, Arthenius Jackson, as I stated before, and I'm with my nonprofit organization, which is also my ministry, called One Touch Transformation. One Touch Transformation, for those of you who may be listening for the first time or may be just wondering, what is One Touch Transformation? Well, let me tell you a little bit about it. One Touch Transformation is a nonprofit organization. We are 501c3 established, and we focus on sexual abuse prevention and awareness. So our mission is to educate the community about sexual abuse while encouraging and empowering all victims and survivors of sexual abuse. So we are out in the community, we are out in churches, we are at after-school programs, wherever the need is, we are out there spreading the awareness, educating people on, you know, the different signs to look for, educating people on what to do in case they are, or someone that they know, are a victim of sexual abuse, the steps to take to find their healing. So it's not so much just focusing on sexual abuse itself, but we want you to cross that bridge and find your voice and find your healing, start your journey to healing, because everyone heals at a different pace. Everyone's experience may be different, but at the end of the day, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And I can say that from experience, because I myself am a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. I have gone through a journey, and I'm still on this journey of healing. It has been rewarding. It hasn't been all good, but it has been a great experience, because along with this experience and along with this journey, I have found the courage, and I have been able to help others who have experienced the same traumatic, you know, abuse to get to the other side. I can talk about it. I can encourage them. I can empower them. I can let them know what steps they can take. And I enjoy doing it. And one particular group that I enjoy helping or enlightening or educating are those that are a part of the body of Christ. So all of our brothers and sisters, I want to encourage them as much as I can and empower them and let them know the resources that are available, because it's not always in the church. Yes, we do have our leaders. We have our pastors. You know, we have people who we look up to, but they can only take us but so far, some of them. And all of them are not equipped to counsel, and it is okay. And for those of you who are listening who may be pastors or hold a leadership role in your church, it is okay if you're not able to counsel. It is okay if you just don't know what to do. But that's what the resources are for. That's what I'm for. And I'm in my community going out, connecting churches and other organizations to the resources that are available when the church isn't, you know, able to help them go to that next step or go to that next level or start their journey of healing. So it is perfectly fine if you admit that you just don't know. But a lot of times people don't like to say they don't know or they can't counsel or can't help in that area. And so a lot of our folks go on hurting and they're stuck in their past and they're not able to move on or not able to find their healing and not able to find true freedom. So with One Touch Transformation, we are here to educate you on not only sexual abuse, but educate on the resources that are available in your area. And you might be saying, well, you're not in my area, so what do I do? What can I take back to my congregation or to my pastor to let them know that there are resources available? Well, I will let you know right before we get started on our topic. So first, I'm going to give you a couple of websites. The first website is rainn.org. That's rainn.org. On this website, you're able to type in your zip code, and it will bring up the nearest rape crisis centers in your area. So at these rape crisis centers, they will give you all the resources that you need, from what to do in case anything happens, such as, you know, a rape or abuse if it's going on. And it will also give you the tools that you need in order to start your journey of healing. So those of you who need that information, need to carry it back to your local groups or whatever you may be a part of, the organization, rainn.org, you can start there. So you just go to that website, find the area where you type in your zip code, and it will bring up a list. You know, if you're in a bigger area, then you may have more options. If you're in a smaller area, it's going to still bring up the nearest location. Also, you are able to chat with someone on that website if you are a survivor or if you are a victim or someone who's just ready to start your journey, if you're ready to talk about it. And maybe you don't want to talk to anyone in your family. Maybe you don't want to talk to a counselor right now. Maybe you don't want to talk to your closest friends. But if you need to just talk about it or get it out, you can also chat with someone there. So the next website I want to give you, so that was rainn.org, and it also stands for Rape, Abuse, Incest National Network. So it is a national organization that focuses on sexual abuse. All right, so the next website that I want to give you is 1in6.org. So that's the number 1, I-N, the number 6, .org, O-R-G. Now, the difference with this website is that this is specifically for male survivors, because we know there's a difference between the female survivors and male survivors. And sometimes males may not feel comfortable enough to, you know, go to the same sources as, or the same resources as the women. And that is okay. We get it. So there is a website specifically for male survivors. They will give you everything that you need. They will cater to the male. So that's the number 1in6.org. And lastly, I want to share the sexual assault hotline. That number is 1-800-656-4673. 1-800-656-4673. And if you actually Google sexual assault hotline, there is a link right beneath the number that gives you the option for online chat. So remember I mentioned about chatting on rainn.org? Well, if you Google sexual assault hotline, a link underneath the number will pop up. Well, you'll see it where it says online chat. So you do have that option. Even if you're not comfortable enough talking about it, then you can type and chat with someone. All right, so I hope you wrote down those resources. So that was rainn.org, 1in6.org, and that sexual assault hotline, 1-800-656-4673. All right, so if you're just now joining in, welcome to Purpose Kingdom Network, episode 979. I'm your host, Arsenius Jackson, with One Touch Transformation, an organization that focuses on sexual abuse prevention and awareness. So tonight we're going to talk about some tips for our parents or guardians or whoever you may be watching in your household, whether it's your children, grandchildren, nieces or nephews, younger cousins, you know, whoever is in your household that is, you know, considered a child. And we know we're heading back to school. If you're down here in the South, like I am, the school starts next week. Teachers went back this week. Yesterday was the first day for teachers. But I know in other areas, some of you won't be starting school until after Labor Day. But down here, teachers have already gone back. They're preparing the classrooms, and kids will be back in come Monday morning. So we're already in the season of school. But I want to talk a little bit about some tips that, you know, will hopefully come in handy for you. Because these are things that are not often talked about. They're kind of overlooked, or some parents may leave it up to the school to teach these things, or leave it up to the TV or videos or whatever the case may be. But it's important for, you know, topics like this to start at home. Topics like this, when it comes to abuse, it in consent and boundaries, it needs to start at home. It's very crucial that it starts at home. You cannot depend on the teachers. You cannot depend on, you know, anyone else to have these important talks with your child or with your grandchild, because how do you know if they're going to get the information the right way? How do you know it's going to be presented to them in the right manner? So it's important that the talk comes from you, someone that they're already familiar with, someone who they already know and they trust. And, you know, most of the time kids are going to believe everything their parents tell them. So why not have these crucial conversations with them now, have them with them early? And anytime I'm doing a presentation with parents or adults who do have children, when it comes to talking about the awareness and the prevention, I always let them know, anytime you're having these talks with these kids, have it with them at the earliest age possible. When your child is able to hold a conversation with you, you know, make complete sentences with you, then they're ready for the talk. They are ready because they are able to, you know, comprehend a sentence and a conversation with you. Then they're able to understand what you are telling them. And it doesn't have to be no long, drawn-out conversation, no big words. You don't have to be all uptight about it. But you're just having a normal, everyday conversation with them when it comes to talking about, you know, touching. Just touching, even though it is such a touchy topic. It's one of the touchiest topics. But we have to have them, and you can't be afraid to have them. You can't, like I said, you can't be uptight about it. Just make it natural. Just make it natural, easy, and comfortable. Because I believe every parent would want their child to come to them about anything. And so in order for your child to come talk to you about anything, you've got to start having those type of conversations early so that they know, you know, okay, I trust mommy and daddy. I can talk to them about any and everything. That's the kind of relationship that I believe every parent would want with their child. But you can't establish that type of relationship or that, you know, that bond of having those anything conversations unless you start it early. So that's the first thing you need to know. Start that conversation early. Have it early. It is very important. Very, very important. And it can easily start off by just having a conversation on consent and boundaries. So a lot of what I'm talking about tonight, I came across this article online. I actually shared it on the One Such Transformation page. So I'm going to be referring to this article, and it's under fatherly.com, and it's entitled How to Teach Young Kids About Consent. So it's under the parenting and teaching section, but How to Teach Young Kids About Consent. And underneath it says, teaching a kid about consent has nothing to do with teaching them about sex. It's about respecting boundaries. So you can go ahead and ease up. You don't have to, get all uptight about it just because we're talking about the word consent. It's not necessarily talking about sex, because we know at an early age we're not going to be talking to little kids about sex, but we're going to focus on consent. We're going to focus on boundaries. Simple, just a simple conversation on consent and boundaries. And this article was written by Patrick A. Coleman. So it's under fatherly.com, how to teach young kids about consent. So focusing on the word consent. What is consent? Like, have you ever really thought about the word consent? It's not really used that much unless you hear about it in a sexual assault article or on the news. You may hear a little bit about consent, or even whenever you're raising, when we're raising awareness and talking about the preventative measures we can take and just educating, you may hear about the word consent. But if you think about it, you have to sign consent forms whenever your child is going on a field trip, or if your child is trying out for sports and they make the team and they have to ride the bus to go on the play the game, then you have consent forms there. Anytime your child may participate in, let's say, a photo shoot of some sort or a video, then you usually have to sign a consent form, because why? They're underage. And so they cannot consent without having permission from the parent or the guardian. So why is it so hard just to talk about the word consent without associating it with, sex? So it is very much possible to have the conversation on consent with your child without even thinking about sex or rape or assault. But just focus on the word consent. So whenever you look up the definition of consent, it says it's just permission for something to happen or simply an agreement to do something. So that's what consent is. But because it has been associated with rape and sexual assault, sexual abuse, every time we hear the word consent, it seems like that's the first thing our minds go to. So consent is just permission. It's just simple permission. So living in this time, we have heard numerous stories on sexual assault, and we've heard about the Me Too movement. So all of this has just been really huge, making the headlines like week after week. So living in this time, we know that no parent wants their child to become a victim or even a perpetrator of sexual assault. But more so a victim. No parent wants that. No parent wants that. So if you have that early conversation, have that early talk, that crucial talk with your child, I'm not saying that it's going to prevent it 100%, but it will make them aware of, what is going on if it comes to that point. Or they'll know what to do if, something like that is attempted or if it happens. So that's why it's important to have it early. But at the same time, don't make this such an uptight conversation. Don't be scary about it. Don't feel like you have to panic about it or make them scared. But like I said, just start it off by talking about the word consent. That's all. Consent. It's all about the boundaries that all of us have. Kids have boundaries. So if adults have boundaries, then of course kids have boundaries. But a lot of times I feel like adults overlook the boundaries that kids have. They feel like because they are kids, then their boundaries don't matter, that they have absolutely no privacy because they're just kids. But that's not true. Kids are human. They have feelings. They have emotions. They feel just like adults do. So they have boundaries. And they can consent as well, you know, when it's an understanding of what consent is. So they can either consent or they can choose not to consent as far as when it comes to them being able to make a decision or if it's something that you ask them do they want or something they don't want. The example that the writer uses in this article, he said, when parents establish firm boundaries around access to things like snacks or television time, they are, you know, teaching a child about consent. For instance, when a child asks if they can eat a cookie or watch a show, a parent might give consent by saying yes. If not, the kid is obliged to respect the boundary or face the natural consequences. Just that simple. Just that simple. They're asking for permission. If the parent says yes, then they have permission or they have consent to get whatever they ask for. But if the parent says no, then they don't have permission or they don't have consent to get what they want. But I like how you said if they don't respect the boundary if they don't respect the boundary, then they have to face the natural consequences, which is some form of punishment. So even at an early age, you can teach them, if you are not given consent, but you still choose to take or do what I told you not to do, then you're going to have to face the consequences, which may be a beating or, like I said, some form of punishment. But it just depends on what the parent is, how the parent is with that child. But establishing boundaries and establishing what the word consent means is very important when it comes to children. And we don't want to wait until they're too old or wait later on in life when it's too late and then they finally understand what consent is, because then they have done something and they may not understand or know that they've done something wrong, all because they didn't understand the word consent or didn't know about the word consent. So again, this is another reason why it is important to have an early conversation on consent. Another example I want to throw in, and some of you may not agree with me, some of you may, but even just going back to the example that he used, when a child asks if they can, you know, have a snack, and the parent may say no, or the parent may say yes. So what if it was the other way around? And this is the part where some of you may disagree. So we live in a social media world, of course, in a very, very social media time. Everyone is on social media. That's where everyone communicates. And, you know, I love social media. I love it. But lately, you know, I've been thinking about some things as far as when it comes to social media and to kids. So I run my nonprofit, and I have a mentoring program. And with the mentoring program, I have girls ages 6 to 15, which is considered underage. So on the application that the parents have to fill out, I do have a media waiver on the bottom of the application, and it's asking for the parents' consent to use their daughter's pictures for promotional ads and just videos, and it's strictly just to advertise and promote what we're doing with the butterfly effect. And we give weekly updates of what we're doing. And so we're constantly taking pictures or either making videos, but it's strictly during the time that we're meeting. It's not outside of that hour that we meet with them or, you know, any other location, but it's strictly during the butterfly effect time period. And so every year, every semester, it doesn't matter if you're repeating,
we need the parents' consent or the parents' permission to use their daughter's picture or the video footage. And so far, since we've been doing it going on 7 semesters, so far every parent, they have no problem signing the media waiver, which is cool. So the thing that I've been thinking about lately is when it comes to social media and kids, I know that parents, they want to celebrate their children. They want to show off their children. And I'm okay with it. But then there are certain pictures and there are certain, you know, videos where parents will post. And I don't know if parents don't think about it or just think it's just funny or feel like it's my child and it doesn't matter how my child feels right now or doesn't understand what I'm posting. But I've seen embarrassing pictures of children and embarrassing video footage. But I feel like parents, they're in the long run, when these kids grow up and they see these pictures, because remember, these pictures and these videos, they never disappear, no matter if you delete them. It's still somewhere out there. Somebody can track them down. But as these kids get older, they're going to have to, you know, deal with this and face these embarrassing pictures, face these embarrassing videos. And I'm just curious to know how some of these kids are going to feel when they do get old enough and understand that their parents posted these pictures and these videos without their permission. I mean, some of them are old enough to say, you know, it's okay. But there are some that are not old enough or may not understand and comprehend what social media is. And I don't know. I've been feeling a little indifferent about it lately. And like I said, a lot of times parents overlook kids or just adults in general overlook kids and feel like it's okay to just post any and everything. And like I said, these kids are going to have to grow up and they're going to see these pictures as they get older. And like, wow, mom, you really posted that? Or daddy, you really had to put that out there? But to each his own. It's okay if that's what you want to do. I'm not fighting against you. But I'm just saying, just think about it. Just think about it. And people, they can do some crazy things. You have crazy people who just take pictures and Photoshop and do some of everything with, you know, even with kids' pictures. So you just have to be careful, be mindful of the things that you're posting, even that is going to involve your kids. But just be mindful and be careful about it. That's all I'm saying. But let's move right along. So teaching young kids about consent. So it's simply teaching them about boundaries. And like I said, it's very important to establish these boundaries in the home early, in the home and early. Because like I said, you don't want the wrong person teaching your child about boundaries, even though they may mean well. Some of them may mean well, but there are some out there who don't mean well. And some of them may try to gain the trust of your child before they teach them their version of consent and their version of boundaries, or this is what we do, or this is how it's done. But no, you as the parent, you as the guardian, whoever you are, if you're, you know, if you're spending more time with a child than the parent, or I'm just saying, if you're looking at their child, teach them at home, teach them about this in the home. And then also teach them that there are consequences when boundaries are crossed. So the same example that was used with the snacks, if a child disobeys or goes against that consent, let them know that there are consequences, no matter how small or how large it is. So it doesn't matter what scale it's on. There are consequences when consent is crossed. And let's see, one thing he stated, he said explicit lessons about physical boundaries can begin as soon as children are becoming curious about bodies around 4 years old. So around 4 years old, kids are starting to become a little curious about what they have. And I'm not just talking about your hands and your feet. They are becoming aware of their private areas, girls and boys. Boys are noticing that when they use the bathroom, that they have some body part that sticks out in between their legs. And it is okay to let them know that it is called a penis. Do not try to hide it. Do not try to give it a nickname. Do not try to call it what it's not. Just call it the proper name. Boy, you have a penis. And the same thing for girls. Girls, some of them, they're going to notice early on that they sit down when they use the bathroom versus, you know, they may know, or I don't know, maybe they may notice that boys, they, some of them stand up when they use the bathroom. But they're going to notice, they're going to become curious, like what they're looking down at is called a vagina. So, like I said, don't be so uptight about it, even when it comes to the body parts, when it comes to those private areas. They're just body parts. And every kid does it. Every time I have I have this lesson or talk about it, every kid is going to snicker whenever you say the word penis or vagina. It's just not, it just, I guess because adults have kind of played over it or just don't like to say it or call it or think it's such a bad name or a bad word. I mean, some people, they feel like saying penis and vagina are cuss words or something, but it's just body part. And I guess because it's quote unquote related to a sexual body part, but it's a body part. And if we continue to label it as it being, you know, a sexual body part and not just call it like it is, then you're going to make it uncomfortable for your kids, to, you know, to even talk about it. I mean, what if they're having problems? What if they're hurting? Or what if something is sore? What if something is itching? You don't want them to be embarrassed coming to you telling you that. No. Unless they just be natural with it. And you can tell a four-year-old boy that he has a penis. You can tell a four-year-old girl that she has a vagina whenever you're going through body parts and talking about consent. So lessons around physical boundaries start simple when reinforcing the idea that no means no and that children are not allowed to touch another person without permission. So not just even touching certain areas of the body, but just touching, period. Keep your hands to yourself. You know, that used to be one of the main rules that would be posted in the classroom or whenever you're a part of any after-school program. That was always a rule. Keep your hands to yourself. But you just simply teaching a four-year-old, look, you do not touch another person without permission or without consent. Do not touch. That's off limits. Teach that early. You do not touch another person. And like I said, we're not even focusing on the body parts or the private areas, but we're just saying physically, you do not touch anyone without permission. Don't touch any person without permission. Next, it said parents need to respect their children's boundaries too. Because like I said, a lot of times parents, they overlook the fact that children even have boundaries. They feel like because I am the parent, I am the adult, I'm over you, so you have no boundaries. It doesn't matter. You're too little to know anything about boundaries. You're too young to know anything about boundaries. I speak for you. In other words, I speak for you, so you have no boundaries. But he says, model consent by not tickling, hugging, kissing, or wrestling children when they say no. So, I mean, there are some times when kids may not be in the mood. Maybe they don't want to be bothered. And like I said, kids, they are little humans. And I think we forget that. Kids are just little humans. We are adults. We're the adults of the humans. And they're just little adults. They're little humans. So the same way that we have emotions, the same way that we have feelings, children have feelings and emotions too. They have good days. They have bad days. They may not have as many bad days as we do because they're still a child. But if they do get to the point where maybe they don't feel like being hugged or kissed by mommy, and if they say no, then, you know, give them their space. And then some, they say, they don't need no space. They're a child. They know about that. But if you model it, then they are more prone to see, okay, if mommy and daddy listen when I say no, then I know to do the same thing.
So it says, if children are struggling to understand the idea of asking permission, if children are struggling to understand, is it couched a lesson in the idea of asking permission, which may be easier for some kids to understand? So after your boundaries are firmly enforced and the lessons of the consent can then become, you know, a little more personal. You can talk a little more personal about it. And, you know, this comes with as they become older. And so as they begin, and then I wouldn't even say it comes along after they become older, because even at 4 years old, they're learning more sentences. They're talking more. They, you know, they're formulating that bump sentences, paragraphs, page. They are talking. By 4 years old, they are talking. You can start talking about their private areas then, telling them no means no, which means when no one is allowed to touch their private areas, and if someone does try, you know, you tell them no, and no means no, because you don't give consent for anyone to touch your body, let alone your private areas. And so there are five alerts that I teach the young kids whenever I'm doing presentations. They're called the five alerts, and it's one of the most simple activity that you can do with kids when it comes to the boundaries. Focus more so on boundaries. And so the five alerts, you just think of it as your five senses, because they kind of go along with all of the five senses. That's one way that you can remember it, and that's one way we teach them. Even when we started with our mentoring program, we taught these girls the five alerts. So the first one, it begins with C alert. And C alert is simply when someone is asking or they're trying to see your private areas, whether it's someone that you know or someone that you don't know. So after you've established, you know, no one is allowed to touch your body, and especially, you know, if you're the parent, teach them this. You tell them no one is allowed to touch your body unless, you know, at a young age, especially unless it's mommy or daddy, and that's we're helping you clean your private areas. We're making sure you're taken care of it. We're making sure that it's okay. And whenever you go to the doctor, of course, the doctor has to look at it. Doctor has to check it. Other than that, it's off limits. No means no. So when it comes to C alert, this is when someone is trying to look at your private areas, or they're trying to show you their private areas. So this is what you're teaching your child, C alert. This is when someone is trying to see, someone other than mommy and daddy, someone other than the doctor, they're trying to see your private areas, or they're trying to show you their private areas. And like I said, it doesn't matter if it's someone they know or don't know. You tell them this. If it's not mommy and daddy, if it's not the doctor, then they should not be looking or asking to see your private areas. Neither should they ask you to look at their private areas. So this is called C alert. All right, so the second alert is talk alert. And most of these they're pretty easy to remember, pretty easy to go over with your children. So C alert, and now we're on talk alert. So talk alert is when someone is talking about your private areas inappropriately or making you feel uncomfortable, or when you know that that's not right. So this is when someone is talking about your private areas or talking about their private areas. Talk alert. And I'm not just saying when we're just talking about it like we are now, but for the adults, you know what I mean when I say it's inappropriate talking. So that's talk alert. Third one is touch alert. Touch alert should be self-explanatory. And we're not even just going to focus on when someone touches your private areas, but remember, going back to the rules we learned, keep your hands to yourself. Do not touch anyone without their permission. So this goes even further than just touching in their private areas. And so we know with the boys, touching their penis or even touching their butt. And with girls, touching in their vagina area, touching in their chest area, and touching on their butt. Of course, those are, you know, the, we'll call them the hot spots or those other private areas. So we know that is off limit. You teach your children that that is off limit. If anyone tries to touch, and if they do touch, you say something. You say something. Even if anyone touches them and it makes them feel uncomfortable, and especially if they told them no, and they still continue to touch them, whether it's on the waist, whether it's on their shoulders, on their, you know, their neck, you just never know. Because a lot of times perpetrators, they do it, you know, they groom them first, so it's not going to always gonna touch them straight between their legs, but they may rub them on the thigh, rub them on the leg, around the waist. So touch alert. Touch alert. Anytime they are just touching, and especially without their permission or touching after they have told them no. All right, so the next alert is hold alert. Hold alert is when someone is literally holding you down on their lap or even hugging you without your permission or after you told them no. Because, you know, some adults, and I don't know why they do this, they force kids to hug them. And I'm pretty sure you can read it or you can kind of sense that a child doesn't want to hug certain adults. And so adults should never force a child to hug them, and neither should parents force a child to hug relatives, especially if you see it and you read it and they don't feel comfortable around that adult. I mean, because kids, they can sense perverts. They can sense those relatives that are not so, you know, wrapped too tight. And just make sure you're reading the body language of your child. So do not force them to even hug relatives or hug any adult. That just makes them feel uncomfortable. And especially people that they don't know. And, you know, and even at church, if your child doesn't want to hug certain people, tell them. I mean, it's okay. And you don't have to apologize for it. I mean, I know you have some kids who just, they're on and off sometimes. Sometimes they're in the mood to hug and sometimes they're not. So on the days when they're not in the mood to hug, don't even force them to. Don't make them. If they're not up to it, they're not feeling it, maybe they just woke up, because I know some kids are in a total different mood after they just woke up from a nap. But don't force them to hug if they don't want to. It's okay. It is okay. The adults will be okay. It's not the end of the world. But do not force your child to hug anyone and force them into that hold alert. But you do have some who will try to force a child to hug them. And like I said, that is hold alert. Our fifth and final alert is alone alert. An alone alert is when someone tries to, I guess, entice a child or get a child away from the group that they're a part of. So just picture a group of students or a group of kids at a function or maybe in a classroom or at an after-school program, and everyone is in a central location, but someone sneakingly tries to get that child away from the group so they can either see, talk, touch, or hold that child. So that's alone alert, when they're trying to get that child away from the group so they can sneakingly do, you know, one of those other alerts to that child. So that's alone alert. So that's see alert, talk alert, touch alert, hold alert, and alone alert. Teaching these five alerts to your child can be so beneficial to them. It will be, because they're simple, it's easy, and it lets them know, okay, this is alerting my mind and this is alerting me that I need to say something. And whenever you're going over these alerts with your child, let them know if any of these come up, they need to say something. Tell somebody. Tell the first adult that they see. And I always tell them, if no one listens to you, go to the next adult. You keep telling until somebody listens to you and does something about it.
And even after that, I always tell them, come tell me, find me, and I will make sure that something is done. And I mean it. I sincerely mean it. So those are the five alerts that you can teach your child. It's really simple. But again, it all starts back to just having a simple conversation on consent and boundaries. That's it. All right, so at this time, we are at our 9:45 mark, which means that it is time for our special prayer. And tonight, I just simply want to pray for all of our teachers, our guidance counselors, and principals, everyone who has to deal with kids on a daily basis as far as when it comes to the school environment, because even with the kids going back to school, a lot of assault happens, you know, after school, on the school buses, and, of course, at some homes, sadly. But with all of the kids getting prepared to go back to school, just want to make sure that the parents are having a talk with their children before they even go back to school, before they go into, you know, some of them are going to new school, some are going to middle school, some are going to high school. And even with college, you know, sometimes college students don't even know about consent, or, you know, some boys may not know not to touch a girl without permission and may not know that they need verbal consent. But this prayer is going to be for, you know, like I said, our teachers, counselors, principals, and, of course, our parents. I pray that you find the courage and the boldness to have these conversations with your children. Father, we thank you for just being God and our creator. We thank you for just loving us and how you just care for us and keep us from day to day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, how you continue to show it towards us. Not anything that we've done, but all because of the love you have for us. So, Father, we just want to take this moment and pray for, first, all of our children who are returning to school soon, the ones down here who will actually be starting next week, and we also pray for those who may be returning at a later date. But, God, we pray that you cover them and that you keep them protected and keep them from all harm and all danger from perpetrators and those who have evil minds and have a mind to hurt children. So, God, we pray that you cover them and that you just continue to protect them, even in their homes, on the school buses, in the schoolhouses, at after-school programs. Just continue to wrap them under your protection wherever they go. And, Father, I pray for every teacher, every assistant, every guidance counselor, and every principal, that they will do all that they can to protect the children, that they will cover them. And if any situation arises, that they will protect the child and seek the help that they need. God, I pray that you strengthen them to handle any situation that may occur this school year. God, I pray for the parents. God, I pray that you will give them the strength, that you would give them the courage to even have the conversation with their children, that they will go about it in the most natural way possible. God, give them the mind to break every cycle or any cycle that may have been occurring in the family when it comes to abuse. God, help them to be the one to break the cycle and to bring it to a stopping point where they no longer hide any of these experiences under the rug, but they will bring it to light so that they can protect the next generation to come. And God, I thank you for every listener. God, I pray for everyone who's listening either by phone or online. I pray that you would meet every need. Those who are seeking salvation, God, I pray that you would even prick their heart, make them to know that you will forgive and that you will deliver, that you will heal from every sin, every sickness, and every disease. God, I pray that you will bring newness to their life. I pray that you will transform their minds and give them a new heart to live for you and to love you with their heart, their soul, and their mind. God, we thank you. We praise you forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Brother Rob, and he's going to give us our announcement for our Purpose Kingdom Network.
Real quickly. Amen. Great program tonight, Minister Jackson. And we appreciate all the information that you have poured forth. And we hope that, you know, all of the information that you brought forth, and I know that it takes, you know, a lot to, you know, to bring forth the information you did, and, you know, without the hurt and the pain, that everything that was taken from you is restored to you. And we thank you so much, and we praise God for that. And real quickly, I'll go into the announcement. This is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank you for joining us tonight's episode. We thank you so much, and we appreciate your listenership no matter where you're listening at in the world, whether you're calling online or via phone. We thank you so much for your support. If you want to contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can contact us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. You can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello, or you can send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. We thank you so much for your support here at Purpose Kingdom Network. Also, if you want to hear any of our past or previous broadcasts, you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You can simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And we thank you so much. If you have an Android phone and you would like to subscribe to Purpose Kingdom Network, where you can hear and not miss any of our episodes, you can go to the Google app. And you go to the Google Play app, and you just type in podcast. Type in Purpose Kingdom Network and type in follow, and you will never miss an episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. Each and every night that we broadcast an episode, you'll get a notification. If you have an iPhone, you can do the same. On your iPhone, there's a purple icon there that says podcast. You just hit that, and you hit search. Type in Purpose Kingdom Network, and you hit follow, and guess what? Right there, if you have an iPhone, you will never miss any of our episodes. We thank you so much for participating and helping us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, and we thank you so much. And with God's will, God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening for an episode of Self-Expressions Sports Edition. And like I said, I hope you be able to join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour, and it's going to be Self-Expression Sports Edition. It's going to be me, yours truly, Brother Robert Pop-Pop Hudson, and we're going to just explore ministry through a sports avenue. We thank you so much. We thank you for your listenership and your support. We hope you continue to appreciate us and join us, and don't forget that there's many extensions to Purpose Kingdom, because we have many different avenues and many different venues through our hosts and our participants. And One Touch Transformation is just one of them. And I'm quite sure Minister Jackson, once I turn the program back over to her hands, she's going to just tell us about the many things. She tells us about the RAIN Project or RAIN.org and also the Butterfly Effect. And so with that being said, I'll let Minister Jackson reconvene here and turn the show back over in her hands so she can tell you about the many parts of and the many functions that we have here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And just with her right there, that's part of the extension of, you know, where she reaches.
Thank you, Brother Rob. Okay, so let me just go back over those websites for those of you who may have missed them in the beginning. So it's RAIN.org, which is from the organization Rape Abuse Incest National Network. They are one of the largest organizations for sexual abuse prevention awareness here in the United States. And they have a website where you are able to find your nearest local rape crisis center. So if you go to the website rainn.org, you are able to put in your zip code, and it will bring up a list
of the nearest rape crisis center. So for those of you who may need that information or know someone who may need that information, you can visit that website and it'll give you just what you need or what you're looking for. And also, if you need to chat with someone online, you can do so as well. The website for male survivors is 1in6.org. That's 1in6.org. And that is a website specifically for male survivors. So if you know any male survivors or know someone who may need that information, you can hand that website to them. All right. And so the last part of information I gave was the sexual assault hotline, which was 1-800-656-4673. And it's available 24 hours every day. So anytime, you know, maybe it's you or maybe a friend of yours may need the number when they're ready to talk or speak up, they can call that number directly. Or if you Google sexual assault hotline, you have the option to chat online. It's right underneath the number. So that's the sexual assault hotline, and that number again is 1-800-656-4673. Now about One Touch Transformation, some information where you can find more about what we do is on our website, www.onett.me. That's onett.me. And you will find out about the organization itself, how we started, why we started, and what we do, not just here in South Carolina, but we do travel. So if you need our services and up north, don't hesitate to call us. But that's onett.me. And underneath One Touch Transformation, we have the Butterfly Effect, which is our mentoring program for girls ages 6 to 15. And we're actually starting the program up in a couple of weeks. We're taking applications for those of you who are in the PD area, which includes Hartsfield, Darlington, and Florence. We are taking applications. They are available online. Or you can pick up an application from one of our drop-off spots, which is in Hartsfield at Seersucker Gypsy Store, the Darlington Housing Authority office, or at the One Touch Transformation office, which is located on Court Street right here in Florence. So applications are available, and the deadline is August 21st. The program is only $30, and it's for 12 weeks, so that $30 will cover the entire 12 weeks. We meet with those girls once a week for 1 hour. We're so excited to have the Clemson Extension Program, who's been a part of, who's been partnering up with us for the past year or so. And I know some of you may not be, I know y'all are familiar with the school Clemson, but Clemson has an extension program where they come in and teach about the importance of eating healthy. So we've had a young lady who's been coming in, partner up with the Butterfly Effect for going on, this is her third semester doing it. She's been coming in doing 30-minute sessions with our girls, teaching them, you know, teaching them their way around the kitchen, letting them know how to eat healthy, the serving size, and all of that good stuff. So we're happy to have her coming back. So she's also going to be a part of our semester with our Florence girls. So like I said, for more information, you can visit our website at onett.me. You can find us on Facebook under One Touch Transformation as well as the Butterfly Effect Mentoring Program. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at underscore onett. And we would love for you to just, you know, check us out and subscribe to the website so you can stay updated. If you are interested in sponsoring a girl for the Butterfly Effect, you may do so. Like I said, the cost of the program is only $30. We've already begun receiving sponsorships for those who want to help girls, or even if you just want to donate just to help with the program, because we do have activities that we'll be doing with three sets of girls. So even if you want to donate money to help along with the activities throughout 12 weeks, you are more than welcome to. You can do it through the website where it says donate. And is donated via PayPal. Or if you want to donate through Cash App, we do have that set up. Is $OneTouchOTT. So that's $OneTouchOTT. So I know our listeners are about to get cut off from that are listening online. So I want to take the time to say thank you for joining in. I hope that you were able to gather some information that you can take back to your children or even back to your youth groups. So thank you. Thank you so much for listening. And be sure to visit our website if you need any additional information about our organization and what we do. So thank you so much. We appreciate you joining in. And to all of our listeners tonight, I appreciate it. Like I said, I do not take any of this lightly to be a part of such a great platform, a great ministry that is not just local, but is and is not just national, but is international. So this is a huge deal. And like I said, I'm so humble and so grateful for the opportunity because this was something that I didn't ask for. It was given. And so I am doing my best to make the best of it and to make sure that I'm doing whatever it takes to get the message out there, to get the word out there, to spread the awareness and to educate each and every one that I can. And I was just sitting here thinking while Brother Rob was doing the announcements, like I was getting a little bit of emotions going on through my head, getting a little emotional, and I'm just thinking like all of this was just simply birthed from pain, and I'm trying to produce, you know, all that I can. You know, of course, good fruit. I'm trying to produce and just do what I have to do to help the next person get to their destiny and to find their voice, to find true freedom, to find their deliverance. So even with all of this, the pain that I went through, the pain that, you know, that came from that traumatic experience, I'm producing straight from the pain. And it, of course, it's all good things. It's all good things because, you know, what was meant to hurt me, what was meant to take me out, what was meant to break me, I didn't let it. And so instead, I'm producing it for the good. So thank you so much for joining in for Purpose Kingdom Network, episode 979, 20 more episodes to go until we're at 1,000. So I hope you have a wonderful night, a blessed night. And again, thank you. Thank you so much for joining in. Have a great night.
Jesus led. He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose. Never wanna see me down, I will not lose. He saved me.